1400 AM. The administration has set out its cloud-first policy, and the success stories, both financial and performance-based, are starting to come in. Federal CIO Vivek Kundra was at the third Cloud Computing Forum and Workshop at the National Institute of Standards and Technology on Thursday, doing a question and answer session with Alan Marcus. He's the Senior Director and Head of IT and Telecommunications Industries for the World Economic Forum, USA.
We've seen lots of discussions around the notion of cloud computing as being really beneficial, you know, to society, to economic growth, to innovation, certainly beyond traditional efficiency aspects. So why do we really not see many few examples? And do you know of more, and are you seeing and encouraging some more examples today?
So I think what's been really, really exciting is that over the past 2 years, especially within the federal government, we've seen a massive scale up in terms of deploying cloud technologies across the board. You've heard me talk at length about the examples at GSA and USDA, where USDA is moving 120,000 people over to the cloud. GSA is moving 17,000 people over to the cloud when it comes to collaboration technologies. But the stories that haven't been told, and this is actually part of the 25-point plan to reform federal IT management, is that every agency has identified three must-move systems to the cloud. And out of that, they're going to be moving within the next year at least one of those systems. So what's been really exciting as I've been sitting down with bureau after bureau, agency after agency, is that they're all in the very early stages now as far as acquisition is concerned. And broad categories that they've identified include literally moving entire infrastructure over to the cloud, to looking at collaboration, which happens to be a top category. Agencies are also going out there, interestingly enough, and they're creating the demand signals. One of the biggest areas, I think, where we're going to see the demand is around financial systems. So one of the challenges we face as a government is that we don't seem to be able to get ERP systems right. But it's not only the federal government, by the way. A lot of CIOs and CEOs that I've spoken to in the private sector tend to spend millions of dollars and haven't really realized the potential of these ERP systems. So we're looking at these ERP systems and asking the question, well, how can we provision them as a service? I would argue that there's a lot more activity that you're not hearing about across the federal government. But what's really interesting, given what's going on in terms of the current fiscal situation, states and local governments across the union are moving very, very aggressively in this direction, whether it's Los Angeles or New York City, Chicago, and then at the state level, Utah, even California, as we look at some of these strategies across the board, as you see pressure when it comes to funding coupled with the ability to innovate.
So you talked about moving across multiple agencies here within the U.S., and something kind of strikes me, and you bring this up a lot. You always say you're a techie, and, you know, you want to talk technical, but a lot of the organizations, a lot of the legislatures, they're not technical. How do you communicate the value of cloud? How do we translate that? What examples, how do you make that work?
Well, I think the best way to think about it, at the end of the day, you know, when I've been spending a lot of time on the Hill meeting with various senators and congressmen talking about the benefits of cloud computing, it's not going to be at the technical level. From their perspective, and it's the right perspective, the question is, how does cloud computing help the American people? What is the difference in a world where you have cloud versus in a world where you didn't have cloud? And the argument that I've been making is that the gap that we see between the private sector and people's interactions with services online, whether it's buying a book, making a reservation for a hotel or a restaurant, or it's the ability to even run small businesses, is fundamentally different than the way people interact with their government. And the reason is because the public sector has spent way too much time on managing complicated infrastructure rather than really focusing on higher value work, which is making sure that when a student goes online and is applying for student aid, that that experience is as simple as going online and buying an airline ticket. Or when somebody is trying to make an appointment, as the president has said, for the Social Security Administration to talk about their benefits, that it's as simple as their interaction with OpenTable. And I think people get that. And then when you add on top of that the dimensions of cost and the dimensions of energy utilization, the business case is very compelling. That's one of the reasons we issued the federal government's cloud computing strategy earlier this year that frames both the benefits and also some of the challenges that we need to confront.
That's federal CIO Vivek Kundra at NIST on Thursday talking about the government's cloud-first policy with Alan Marcus of the World Economic Forum USA. Mr. Kundra getting into specifics and talking about the worldview of cloud computing when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russert. Libyan rebels insist Muammar Gaddafi goes. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she agrees that any African Union peace plan must include his departure.
We've made it very clear that we want to see a ceasefire. We want to see the Libyan regime forces pull back from the areas that they have forcibly entered. These terms are non-negotiable.
Here on Capitol Hill, the fiscal fight isn't over yet. Still to come, the 2012 budget and what to do about the debt ceiling. White House spokesman Jay Carney says the president wants a clean bill out of Congress, no strings attached.
We do not need to play chicken with our economy by linking the raising of the debt ceiling to anything. We should do that right away.
And a line of strong thunderstorms is marching east across the Mississippi River. They stretch from Louisiana up to eastern Ohio. Tornado watches are in Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Arkansas. I'm Luke Russert, NBC News Radio.
At CarMax, we know honesty is the key to providing great customer service. However, we also understand that there are times when you're better off not being honest. For instance, if your aunt asks you if you can attend her one-woman show for the love of Sheila, you might want to say you already had plans. But when a customer asks us to appraise their car, we know this calls for total honesty. Not only do our buyers have an offer ready in 30 minutes, you can have up to 7 days to think about it or walk away with payment in hand. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, Walgreens. I love the sounds of spring. Except the ones that say allergies. So, any advice for dealing with them?
Try non-drowsy Claritin. It's available at Walgreens. Claritin gives you 24-hour relief of your worst allergy symptoms without drowsiness. And Claritin is proven to keep you as alert and focused as someone without allergies. Live Claritin Clear, indoors and out. Walgreens. There's a way to stay well. Use as directed.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Neil Borofsky, the Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program.
One of TARP's goals was, of course, to rescue the financial system and to restore the profitability of the largest banks so that they can continue to do business. On the other hand, TARP was supposed to do a lot more than just that. It was supposed to help preserve home ownership. It was supposed to help assist in the recovery. It was supposed to help restore lending. And there, the program has simply not been successful, but has failed.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. With highlights of the remarks by Vivek Kundra at the National Institute of Standards and Technology's third cloud computing forum and workshop last week, on Thursday to be precise. And Vivek answering questions from Alan Marcus, Senior Director and Head of IT and Telecommunications Industries for the World Economic Forum. In this highlight, he talks about the cloud-first policy the administration has set up and describing the benefits of the cloud, not just to agencies and your friends and colleagues at the agencies, but also to Capitol Hill.
We've seen lots of discussions around the notion of cloud computing as being really beneficial, you know, to society, to economic growth, to innovation, certainly beyond traditional efficiency aspects. So why do we really not see many few examples? And do you know of more, and are you seeing and encouraging some more examples today?
So I think what's been really, really exciting is that over the past 2 years, especially within the federal government, we've seen a massive scale up in terms of deploying cloud technologies across the board. You've heard me talk at length about the examples at GSA and USDA, where USDA is moving 120,000 people over to the cloud. GSA is moving 17,000 people over to the cloud when it comes to collaboration technologies. But the stories that haven't been told, and this is actually part of the 25-point plan to reform federal IT management, is that every agency has identified three must-move systems to the cloud. And out of that, they're going to be moving within the next year at least one of those systems. So what's been really exciting as I've been sitting down with bureau after bureau, agency after agency, is that they're all in the very early stages now as far as acquisition is concerned. And broad categories that they've identified include literally moving entire infrastructure over to the cloud, to looking at collaboration, which happens to be a top category. Agencies are also going out there, interestingly enough, and they're creating the demand signals. One of the biggest areas, I think, where we're going to see the demand is around financial systems. So one of the challenges we face as a government is that we don't seem to be able to get ERP systems right. But it's not only the federal government, by the way. A lot of CIOs and CEOs that I've spoken to in the private sector tend to spend millions of dollars and haven't really realized the potential of these ERP systems. So we're looking at these ERP systems and asking the question, well, how can we provision them as a service? I would argue that there's a lot more activity that you're not hearing about across the federal government. But what's really interesting, given what's going on in terms of the current fiscal situation, states and local governments across the union are moving very, very aggressively in this direction, whether it's Los Angeles or New York City, Chicago. And then at the state level, Utah, even California, as we look at some of these strategies across the board, as you see pressure when it comes to funding, coupled with the ability to innovate.
So you talked about moving across multiple agencies here within the U.S., and something kind of strikes me, and you bring this up a lot. You always say you're a techie, and, you know, you want to talk technical, but a lot of the organizations, a lot of the legislatures, they're not technical. How do you communicate the value of cloud? How do we translate that? What examples, how do you make that work?
Well, I think the best way to think about it, at the end of the day, you know, when I've been spending a lot of time on the Hill meeting with various senators and congressmen talking about the benefits of cloud computing, it's not going to be at the technical level. From their perspective, and it's the right perspective, the question is, how does cloud computing help the American people? What is the difference in a world where you have cloud versus in a world where you didn't have cloud? And the argument that I've been making is that the gap that we see between the private sector and people's interactions with services online, whether it's buying a book, making a reservation for a hotel or a restaurant, or it's the ability to even run small businesses, is fundamentally different than the way people interact with their government. And the reason is because the public sector has spent way too much time on managing complicated infrastructure rather than really focusing on higher value work, which is making sure that when a student goes online and is applying for student aid, that that experience is as simple as going online and buying an airline ticket. Or when somebody is trying to make an appointment, as the president has said, for the Social Security Administration to talk about their benefits, that it's as simple as their interaction with OpenTable. And I think people get that. And then when you add on top of that the dimensions of cost and the dimensions of energy utilization, the business case is very compelling. That's one of the reasons we issued the federal government's cloud computing strategy earlier this year that frames both the benefits and also some of the challenges that we need to confront.
That's Vivek Kundra with Alan Marcus of the World Economic Forum, USA. Mr. Kundra talking about the cloud computing policy that the federal government has instituted at NIST on Thursday. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a moment.
Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"The migration to cloud will be deliberate, and it will be measured, and it will be from a risk management perspective, which means there's not going to be a wholesale migration to the cloud quickly. So the way to start is back in the consolidation in the data center. The fundamentals of data center consolidation are enablers for cloud computing, and they provide significant benefits, not just in terms of space and headroom, but also cost savings that will enable cloud migration and mobility as later phases."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
With vacation time just around the corner, are you ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security Systems has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Call 888-999-1070 or on the web at AckermanSecurity.com.
Cybersecurity runs deeper than information assurance. It includes mobile security, cyber innovations, forensics, collaboration. That's why last month the Defense Department increased its cyber budget request by nearly $1 billion. And it's why DHS is taking unprecedented steps to assume responsibility government-wide. Join FCA Bethesda on April 29th at the Bethesda North Marriott for its executive breakfast on the latest developments in mission-critical cybersecurity. For speaker lineup and to register, visit FCABethesda.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Federal CIO Vivek Kundra at NIST on Thursday talking about cloud computing at the Cloud Computing Forum and Workshop 3. And sitting down for a Q&A with Alan Marcus, Senior Director and Head of IT and Telecommunications Industries for the World Economic Forum USA. Mr. Kundra coined a new phrase recently. He said he calls it digital oil. And in this highlight of his conversation, he defined what that term means.
The notion of scarce resources came up a lot when we thought of computing power and storage space and that. And you know, this technology known as virtualization, which is sort of a foundation certainly of the cloud space, is forcing a paradigm of change from that notion of scarcity to abundance. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it almost seems like we found this amazing substitute for oil, kind of in, as a metaphor in scarcity. And ironically, yesterday you were in a scarcity resource session and you brought up the notion of digital oil. And tell me, what did you mean by that?
Sure. So the phrase that I've been using to describe our current state when it comes to information technology is actually digital oil. And what I mean by digital oil is that the infrastructure is as important as oil is to our broader economy. So if you think about it, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking about how we've gone from 432 data centers to 2,094, and the number keeps fluctuating. The average utilization of servers in that infrastructure is actually under 26%. Yet, when you look at the asset utilization as far as manufacturing is concerned, you look at industrialized nations from Brazil to Canada, the United States, the entire European Union, that's about 79%, right? So if you look at that, the deeper question for us is, well, wait a second. How is it that in the manufacturing sector, we have asset utilization at about 79%, yet in technology, our asset utilization is under 26%? That's crazy, a 50th percentile differential between the two. And I thought the tech world was supposed to be the most advanced. The problem, the bigger problem I see, is that as we look forward, in the next 5 years, all the forecasts say that we're going to create more digital content than we have created content since the beginning of civilization. The National Archives, for example, digitizes 1 billion pieces of paper every year, and that's historical data, right? Those are historical pieces of paper. Think about all the new digital content that's being created today. Blogs, video, what's happening with emails that we're generating, what's happening with sessions like this and archiving them. The demand for compute power and the demand for sensors and the demand for storage, if you think about it, in this new world, think of smart grid and the ability to aggregate all that data. Think about health IT and what's happening in that space. It is going to fundamentally change our notion of what we call digital oil, because today our current compute models are so inefficient, they're so expensive, they're not environmentally healthy in terms of energy utilization, that we're going to have to fundamentally re-engineer our operations to renewable sources. And I think there's going to be a demand as you think about even minerals as we try to build this 21st century infrastructure that's going to power a lot of what society is going to look like in the coming decades.
So I think we have time for perhaps one more question. 6 months ago, I was with some of the Europeans, our friends at the Digital Agenda, Nelly and her crew, and We were kind of talking about some of the frameworks that the Europeans are looking at in terms of cloud computing, and it struck me that maybe they were getting ahead. Now, certainly, let's move ahead 6 months to today, and certainly with the help of NIST, it looks like the U.S. is gaining some lead here. What do you think the U.S. role should be? And given this one sort of provocative notion that a lot of people outside the U.S. are worried about the potential dominance of cloud providers coming from the U.S., so how do you see, you know, an organization such as Commerce and yours looking at cloud from that angle? And, you know, should the U.S. take a dominant position in this?
Well, I think from our perspective, right, there's when we think about the federal government, there's a question that we're trying to answer, which is the $80 billion we spend every year on information technology is extremely inefficient. And that's one of the reasons we're driving towards the cloud, to make sure that beyond the cost savings that we're providing better services to the American people. In a global context, I think, you know, you're going to see Darwinian pressure in terms of competition across the world. And I think the companies that are going to lead are the ones that are going to out-innovate. And I think from a NIST perspective, I think what's really exciting is that NIST has been working with our partners, whether it's in the European Union or other parts of the world. Specifically, what I'm really proud of is that all of us convened here in November of last year. And a little bit over 5 months later, what's exciting is that NIST has actually gone out there and put out a reference architecture. It's convened over 240 organizations, bringing them together to move towards a consensus-driven standard-setting process. It's created business cases and filtered them through how do you actually apply a reference architecture. It's talked about and debated extensively about some of the challenges you brought up around security. I think what you're beginning to see is the early foundation of what's going to emerge, and I think it's a very unique point in history where you actually have the public sector, private sector very early on something that's going to be as transformational as cloud computing working together. But I think from a global perspective, as I said, there's going to be more collaboration as we think about what does a global grid look like when we're talking about standards as far as security, interoperability, data portability. But today, you know, I'm very excited and pleased with the progress that the United States government is making in this space. And I think also if you look at what's happened in the last 2 years in terms of the private sector, I was driving down today from Washington and listening to the radio, and you couldn't stop hearing all the different ads from different companies around the cloud solutions that they're providing. And we've had a number of private sector companies that have set up .gov cloud solutions. That's very, very exciting. So I think we have a very healthy, vibrant ecosystem that's going to be competing for dollars across the world.
That's Federal CIO Vivek Kundra at the Cloud Computing Forum and Workshop 3 at NIST on Thursday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The questions there are coming from Alan Marcus, Senior Director and Head of IT and Telecommunications Industries at the World Economic Forum, USA. In-depth with Francis Rose continues in the second hour of the program. What's so great about cloud computing? We'll get more of an update from Vivek. And finally, this may be the year for comprehensive cybersecurity legislation. All of that coming in the second hour of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.